Blog Talk Radio.
Africa from Toto, what an appropriate song to kick off our show today on WAMS Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Hi, I'm Burke Allen. Thank you so much for listening on this day after Election Day 2008, when a gentleman with lots of ties to the continent of Africa is the new president of the United States, as we record the show live, and we decided to talk with an African expert. In fact, she's from YourSafariExpert.com. It's Christine Eichen. Hi, Christine. Thanks for being on the show with us today.
Hi, Burke. It's great to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Now, you know, we were just talking about Barack Obama, the presumptive president. He'll take office in less than 60 days, and his father is from Kenya, and you have or have not spent time in Kenya?
I have spent lots of time in Kenya, and it's actually my favorite country in Africa altogether, and I was so excited last night when Obama won. I'm not politically, you know, involved much, but seeing a clip from Kenyan people in the village that Obama came from, how they celebrated, you know, they don't have TV, they don't have hardly any electricity, and, you know, somebody's boombox is providing the town hall meeting, basically, and just to see the excitement halfway around the world was pretty phenomenal for me, and it just goes, you know, how tied in they love Americans, and they're so excited that one of theirs, even though Obama's father was pretty absent, but it's, you know, as far as Kenyans are concerned, your family. So, it's pretty exciting for me.
Christine Eichen is with YourSafariExpert.com, and if you'd like to talk to her about Kenya or anything that has to do with Africa and African travel, the number to call is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. You can also join our online chat here at blogtalkradio.com/WAMS. And Christine, give us an idea then, since you spent a lot of time in Kenya, what the Kenyan people are like. And let's say that Obama, who did spend a little bit of his childhood over there and certainly has relatives from there, will have some of that family influence. So what can you glean from the Kenyan people that you have spent time with about what we can expect from our new president?
Well, you know, you land in Nairobi or Kilimanjaro, anywhere in East Africa or even South Africa for that matter, you're met by your driver guide, who will then guide you for the length of your safari. And you're greeted with this huge smile. And it is so, it's very infectious. And these are people that have never met you before. And instantly, you feel like you're family. You become friends. And then at the end of the trip, it's not unheard of that people are actually crying because it feels like you're leaving your family behind. So it's that kind of, you know, generosity from within is shining through. And when I see the smile on Barack's face, it's like that is the smile that you would get when you go to Africa. And it's just a fabulous experience, particularly for family with teenage children, for sure. Younger children may get the benefit, you know, depending on where you go. But for teenagers, it's a phenomenal family experience.
Now, Christine, you're based in California, and you know, the economy has been difficult there, as it has been all over North America and
sure,
much of the world. And you know, as people pull back on their finances and they really watch every penny, you know, why Africa when there are so many places closer to home to visit, especially in this tough economic climate? Why would you say you got to go on a safari?
You know, what I tell people is it's the best value for your money. I mean, yes, airfare is horrendous nowadays, and you're flying halfway around the world, so it's not it's a pretty considerable expense as far as airfare. The best use for somebody's frequent flyer miles would be a trip to Africa, and then the land arrangements. It's, you know, everything is included once you land in Africa, your meals, your activities, your game viewing, the park entrance fees, the accommodations, everything is part of your package. So when you compare that with a Disney vacation, you know, you prepay for your accommodation and for the park entrance, but then all your meals are extra. All your other activities, it just adds up. So when you compare something as exotic as an African safari, everything is included. So it's not necessarily the least expensive prepayment from the money point of view, but from the value for the money that you're spending is definitely non plus ultra on an African safari. It goes beyond a cultural experience. It's the animals. It's the people. It's the scenery. It's all of those things making you feel like this was uniquely different from any other trip. That many people that are well-traveled all around the world, they end up going to Africa, and it's this spell on them. They have the desire to go back as soon as possible. It grabs you.
And if you want to experience an African safari like none other, Christine and her staff at yoursafariexpert.com can help put that together. She has some free safari tips up on the website as well. And you mentioned Orlando, Christine, and you know, taking the family to Disney World, certainly not an inexpensive proposition by any stretch. And and you told me something today I didn't know, that these safaris are very much all-inclusive. But if you go to Orlando, along with the expensive park food, obviously you're there to see Mickey Mouse. And if you go to Egypt, you're there, you got to see the pyramids. You know, you don't go to Paris without seeing the Eiffel Tower. What are the must-see spots if you plan an African getaway?
That depends on if you're going to East Africa or Southern Africa. If it's East Africa, I would say predominantly it's a wildlife experience. You know, you have the wide open plains with huge herds of elephants, with lions and leopard and cheetah. And during the wildebeest migration, you can have animals as far as you can see. It's just mind-boggling. So you get something that you can't do anywhere else in the world, and along with it, you have a very good chance of visiting a Maasai village, or in Southern Africa, you can go to a Zulu village. You really get a feel of a completely different culture, completely different values, and to me, that is a huge aspect of going on safari. Yes, the wildlife is fantastic. Yes, the scenery is great, and the people are just dynamite, but the cultural exchange is beyond, you know, I always said, travel opens the mind. It's, you see that other people are content and happy. They may have different values, but at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. We want to be loved and we want to be happy. And so to me, it's an all-around experience. It's not just one aspect of the trip.
We're talking African safaris and vacations of a lifetime with Christine Eichen from yoursafariexpert.com. Now, Christine, you talked about the full sort of immersion experience of an African safari, and the people that you meet, there must be hundreds of different languages and dialects are spoken in that continent. If you don't speak a lick of anything but the king's English, you know, how much is that going to handicap a guy or gal when they go on a safari to Africa?
I'm really glad that you brought that up, because most of the safari destinations, their second language and their business language is English.
Okay.
So even though your driver guide will speak Swahili or Zulu or whatever his local tongue is, they all speak excellent and fluent English, so there is absolutely no language barrier. It would be slightly different if you're going to West Africa, where it's predominantly French speaking. But as far as Kenya, Tanzania, the most known safari destination, South Africa, Victoria Falls, any of those destinations, their business language is English, so no handicap whatsoever.
Okay, good to know. Now, what about as you see media accounts of Africa? Certainly in some parts of the continent, and the continent is huge, there is just crushing poverty. And, you know, horrible living conditions and certainly some violence there. And if folks, you know, if that gave folks pause about going to Africa, what would you say to them?
It really shouldn't give them pause. You know, Africa is a really big continent with 53 different countries. We usually don't realize how huge that continent is. And, yes, there are areas that are dangerous. Just like in New York, you have areas where you wouldn't dream of venturing into on your own at night. Same thing happens in Africa. We know the places that are completely safe. When you go out, you're with your guide who knows the local conditions inside out. He knows the places that are absolutely safe, so you would never even be exposed to any of those areas at all. And, you know, poverty, there are countries that are extremely poor, but what you see on safari is the little villages. Yes, they have no electricity. They may not have running water, but the bond among the communities is so strong, and they don't think of themselves as poor. They have the family values. They have everybody pulling together. So that is very different from when we talk maybe an area here in the United States, underprivileged people, where it's really a comparison between the have-lots and the have-not. And that is a very different experience in Africa. So I would not hesitate to go to any of the safari destinations. You would not be exposed to begging and those kind of things as you would in some of the areas that, you know, in countries where poverty is prevailing and we see the bad news. But as far as safari destinations, the ones that we advocate is an incredible experience where you don't feel that you're exposed to the begging and everything that goes along with the underprivileged.
You're listening to WAMS Radio, and Christine Eichen is our guest today. She's with YourSafariExpert.com and answering all your questions about safaris. And in our Blog Talk Radio web chat, we have a question here from Rocco, who says that Christine, he wants to know about African animal encounters. Specifically, have you ever had anything scary or dangerous that has happened? So have you ever been, you know, nearly trampled by an elephant herd? Anything exciting to share with us like that?
Actually, I have not. I had a couple very exciting moments that could have been potentially dangerous. We were in the middle of a lion hunt once at night, and we had turned off the lights on our vehicle. And the guy said, you know, the lions are hunting. And all of a sudden, we hear this huge trampling right next to our vehicles. And there was four lions chasing a zebra calf. And so that was sort of, you know, that could have been potentially dangerous.
Yeah, that'll make the heart race, won't it? That'll wake you up.
Yep, but you know, normally the guides and the drivers, they know the animal behavior so incredibly well, and it's not that these lions or elephants, they are very used to the vehicles in the safari parks. So you are advised not to stand up in an open vehicle or not to draw attention to you by yelling or any of that. The guides will know if an elephant flaps his ears, if that is aggression or if it's just cooling off. You know, they kind of cool their body temperature down by flapping their ears. So they are so well trained that I never get nervous unless the guide is nervous. And they would never position the vehicle in a situation where they could not get away. You know, you wouldn't be backing up to elephants kind of thing. And lions, you know, such a misnomer, these predators, they really have no interest in human beings as long as you're in the vehicle. Then you appear to be much bigger, and typically they look for smaller game. They are so lazy. Most of the times I've seen lions close to a vehicle, they actually crawl under the vehicle because it's the only place where they get shade. And then you're sort of stuck until the lions decide to move off.
So you're not always lunch when it comes to lions. That's good. This is a good thing.
Yeah, it's really incredible. And then, you know, I've been to the mountain gorillas, and you're without the vehicle around you. You're going on foot. You're hiking into their territory. And I've had a silverback standing at my feet, and the guide just said, sit down so you're not a threat to them. And then they just moved on. It's beyond belief to be without any physical boundary between you and those incredible giant, gentle giants is what they call them. So, no, I would not consider an African safari dangerous in terms of animal encounters at all, as long as you're not venturing out on your own. You definitely need to have the guide that knows the animal behavior. And there's quite a few parks where it's actually not even allowed to do self-drive. And you wouldn't even see a whole lot if you were driving into, let's say, Kruger National Park is a public park, and you go privately. First of all, you couldn't go off-road. And if you don't know the signs that you look for, you may be driving past animals and they may be right, you know, 10 feet from the road. The driver guides, they've had years of training. They know all the signs. I remember in Kenya once, you know, we saw a herd of impala and they were all staring in the same direction. And our guide said, well, this looks like they're sensing danger. And we drove around a little bit, and sure enough, we found a group of cheetahs. So it's pretty amazing how much more you see when you know what you look for.
Sure. Christine Eichen can help with that. She's with yoursafariexpert.com, and you've got, what, a couple of dozen African safaris under your own personal belt, right?
I do. I got infected, is what I call it, in 96 on my first trip to Kenya. And I've been back to 13 different countries, safari destinations, on 21 different trips. And I just love exploring a new park, a new lodge, a new camp. I go on average twice a year so that I can bring my expertise back to the people that are interested in going. And my specialty is customizing an itinerary to my clients' needs, because whatever appeals to me may not necessarily be the thing that you would be looking for going on a safari. And having the personal experience gives me the advantage of saying, okay, this is what you can expect, and this is the difference between going to East Africa or South Africa or any of that. And the misnomer is that many people think, oh, customized, it's got to be horrendously expensive. The bottom line is a customized safari is usually no more expensive than a group safari. And the benefit when you're out just a couple or two, three people with your driver guide, you can stay with an animal sighting or a bird sighting as long as you want, where if there's a group and you have some people are really interested in seeing birds, some other people really want to see just cats, some other people just want to see elephants, then your driver has to find a happy medium to please everybody.
Sure.
And if it's you and your driver guide, you can stay. You know, I remember being in Samburu all by myself with a guide, and we watched cheetahs for a whole hour. I would never have been able to do that if I had other people on the vehicle.
Right.
So
right.
Customized safari is definitely the way to do it. And, you know, you're not locked into a certain group departure, which means you're a lot more flexible with flights. If a flight is sold out, we'll just move the date and do it the less expensive way. When you have a group, you're locked into a specific date, and if you can't get your flights for that date, then you're screwed. So all around, much better experience and a lot more flexibility with a customized itinerary.
She is your safari expert, Christine Eichen, with yoursafariexpert.com. If you'd like to talk with her, the number is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. If you're listening to the show live and if you're listening to a podcast of the WAMS radio broadcast, we sure do appreciate it. Christine, as I poked around on your website, there are a lot of incredible pictures there now, and I think a lot of them are new. I hadn't seen recently of gorillas and other wild animals. Did you take most of those yourself? And if you're an amateur photographer, I would think that an African safari would be a really cool vacation.
You know, it's amazing that you're saying that. Yes, all the pictures are my own pictures.
Oh, is that right? Now, are you a trained photographer? You have a big background in that?
No, not at all. I'm the kind of, you know, I was married to a guy who owned the camera, and he had to have the best spot, and I never had the need to do photography. And then my first trip to Africa was on my own, and I bought the cheapo, you know, back then it wasn't even a digital camera, and I was just amazed that I just click. And now with digital photography, I take so many pictures, and then the nice thing is I can just delete the blurry ones. And but Africa has an opportunity for such photography. It's amazing. And what's really amazing, they are travel photographs that your friends will actually don't mind seeing. You know, you go on a trip to Africa and they yawn by the forest, picture of a landmark. Where animal pictures, everyone is different. So, and you said you've seen some that weren't up there before. I actually have so many more that I should post. But, I would encourage people to go and look at some of the safari pictures, because what I really tried to, it's not just the best shots on there. It's a cross-section of people, of accommodations, of wildlife, of any of that. So, you know, there's some good, there's some not so good, but it gives you an incredible cross-section on what you might experience on a safari. So it's more a travel log for me than really stunning photography.
Take a look at those photos now at yoursafariexpert.com, and know that the lady we're talking to right now snapped all those with not a fancy camera at all. She just stuck her head up.
Africa brings out a photographer in every one of us.
The website, again, to take a look at those photos is yoursafariexpert.com, and Christine Eichen is your safari expert. Christine, what about the expense involved in an African safari, are there ways that you can sort of cut corners price-wise?
Well, there certainly is. If you are traveling with another couple or as a family, then, of course, the price is lower than if there was just two people traveling. So that's one of the, look for somebody that would be interested and go with you.
Now, let me ask you this. You mentioned that in terms of, in the States, there are lots of different types of accommodations. You have sort of budget accommodations all the way up to five-star accommodations.
Yep.
I would assume that everyone who goes on an African safari, you're going to be roughing it and sleeping under the stars and, sort of your head on a pillow and your back on the ground. That's basically the way that most of those will work, correct?
Oh, my gosh. Anything from roughing it. I mean, even the most basic accommodation, called a lodge, is similar to a hotel around here. You have all the amenities. You have great food. You have, the wonderful service, friendly service. And the most, when people hear tented camp, they kind of go, no, I don't want to be sleeping, in a tent.
Right.
But what you don't realize, a permanent tented camp in Africa is the most luxurious way you can go. It's essentially the same as a hotel room, but the walls are canvas. So, you're more immersed into the bush. You can hear the animals if they're around at night. So, I've stayed at places where the hippos mow the lawn at night. You hear them munch. Or an elephant comes through and rubs his trunk on a tree, and you can hear a lion roar. It's the non plus ultra experience. And people that have stayed at a permanent tent camp, they usually don't want to go back to a lodge. Typically, the permanent tent camps are much, much smaller, so it's more intimate, better staff to guest ratio. You have a campfire to sit around after dinner, so it's a lot more, you feel like you're part of Africa. And you just mentioned sleeping under stars, and you can certainly do that, but also in ultimate luxury. There is a place in Laikipia, which is a wildlife conservancy in north of the equator in Kenya, And there they have what we call star beds. It's essentially a giant treehouse, really high off the ground, overlooking the river. And you have the ensuite bathroom. You have a thatch roof over half of this platform, which is enormous. And half of the platform is open. There is a mosquito net over the bed, and at night they wheel the bed out onto the open platform, so you're sleeping under the big African sky. And anybody that has seen the stars and sunsets in Africa, no interfering lights, no distractions. It's phenomenal. And then early in the morning, the local Maasai, the Samburu, working at the star beds, they serve you breakfast in bed. It's an incredible experience, and I highly recommend it, not just for couples, but even individuals. It's just so out of this world. It's so something different that, but yeah, you're not roughing it by any means. And more importantly, rather than a star rating, would be the location. You know, you can have a more budget accommodation, but in a better wildlife corridor, meaning that there is more animals passing through. And when I do customized itineraries, I always choose the location over the accommodation, unless a client really wants to have that five-star luxury.
See, even in Africa, it's location, location, location.
Yes.
All right, good. Christine Eichen is our guest. The website is yoursafariexpert.com. And Mark in New Hampshire, you're on with Christine Eichen on WAMS. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Christine. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling in, Mark.
No problem. I actually had a question. My wife and I are thinking about taking an African safari for our next vacation, but it seems to be pretty expensive. Can you give me a couple tips on how I can save some money?
Well, yeah, go in the low season would be one as far as airfare is concerned. So,
and now when is that, Christine? When is low season?
Yep, I was just going to get at. It's usually mid-January through the end of May, and again from mid-September to the end of November. And, you know, you would think that if you're traveling during the low season for the airfare, it would also be the low season for within Africa, and that's far from it. For example, the end of September, October, are the best months for Kenya because of the migration being in the Maasai Mara. So that would be an excellent time to have low season airfares combined with top-notch wildlife experience in East Africa. Also, East Africa is usually the better value than Southern Africa. Botswana, the tented camps, because a lot of times you have to fly in between camps. The charter flights in between is what makes it really expensive. Southern Africa also has a more limited season. They have a more distinct rainy period between November and April. So that jacks up the prices for the season that you can actually go visit. So it's similar to Alaska. It's, you know, it's fairly expensive during the summertime and then fairly nothing in the wintertime. Where East Africa, they have awesome climate, except for April, May is considered their rainy season. So that would be a time to avoid, unless you don't mind, you know, being drizzled on. The benefit of the rainy season in East Africa is it's not dusty at all. It's lush and green, and the scenery is gorgeous. But you may have a rain shower here and there, and then, of course, the animals hide. But outside of that, you can certainly go January, February as well. In that case, I would recommend Tanzania because the migration is going to be in southern Serengeti. So definitely there's places that you can combine with fairly inexpensive accommodation and then driving from park to park rather than having to fly. That will bring down the cost as well.
Mark, right. I think you should call Christine or log on to yoursafariexpert.com and let her hook you up with some great discount tips. And thank you for calling today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We're almost out of time, Christine. Once again, the website is yoursafariexpert.com, and you have a toll-free telephone number as well, correct?
I do. It's 877-GO-ON-SAFARI, which translates to 877-466-6723. I'd like to invite the listeners to go to my website and click on the link that says, "Did you hear me on the radio?" and they can register for the newsletter there, and I will send them a gift.
Christine Eichen, SafariExpert.com, thank you so much for being on WAMS Radio today.
Thank you so much for having me, Burke. You have a great afternoon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks.